What up, Conquer Nation? I am bringing you kind of a special episode here. We recorded this one a couple weeks back with Cody, and we really had set this out and set it in motion for our 4th of July special and just talked to Cody about how the military has influenced his endurance career and endurance adventures and things like that. So what he has taken away from his military service that has made him a better endurance athlete. So it's a fun episode. We just shoot the breeze. And if you listen to the other episode of that we had with Cody, you'll understand that it's pretty lighthearted and it's just kind of all over the place and fun. So I would love to say thank you so much to everyone that is active military and our retired vets. There, we have so many of them on our Divide and Conquer team, and they are such strong and just awesome, awesome people. And I can't thank them enough for their service and their families. I think that's a forgotten thing, that the military families and what they go through, why the person's serving and when they're deployed and the times that they have that are gone. So those families are just as amazing, if not more amazing, than the actual military individuals themselves. So thank you so much for the families. And there's several guys and girls on our team that I'd just like to say a special thank you to for their military service. Some of them are still active and some of them are retired. Sean from Prevail Strength and Fitness, who's my strength guy. We will have him on here soon. He is a Marine. I can't say an ex-Marine. I know how the Marines are about that situation, but he did his service in the Marines, and I would love to give a special shout out to my cousin Luke, who really is a true American hero. He served in the Army in the striker units, did a couple of tours in Iraq back in the day, and he would never say it, but as Bronze Star and Purple Heart. So he is a legit American hero, and I can't thank him enough, and I'm so honored to call him a family member. And I just want to say thank you guys so much for your selflessness in protecting what we have here and around the world. So thank you to all of our military people out there. Enjoy this episode. It's fun. And have a great 4th of July week and weekend wherever you are. And please tune in. And if you need anything from us, let us know. Ryan@conquertraining.com or hit me up on Instagram or Facebook at Conquer Training. Thanks.
Yay!
So that sound that you hear is Cody giving me my least favorite alcoholic drink, gin and tonic. But it sounds really good on audio, so it's a great way to start the day.
Indeed. So, Cody, and it's my favorite drink.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I'll suffer through it. Tastes like tree.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It's doable because there's not a lot of gin in it. So I can make that happen. So Cody,
yes.
This is round two with you.
This is round two with me. Last time there was a lot of cussing. We could probably like do a real quick 30-second breakdown of the last one for people who decided not to listen to it.
If you didn't listen to it, go back in the archives, check it out, because it was a good episode.
But there's a lot of cussing.
There is a lot of cussing.
Basically, what we can come down to is prepare yourself. Don't, like,
I even
a few days
did a
before.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Do, yeah, just prepare yourself.
Yeah, there's going to be cussing. It's just, yeah. And I think once they listen to this episode, they'll understand why there's so much cussing.
Can I cuss again?
Sure.
Fuck yeah.
Do whatever, say whatever you want. So we're going to get into your military background.
Okay.
And how your military mindset, background, training has helped you in endurance sports. And how it's influenced your endurance sports decisions and activities you've done. Just kind of how has that helped you, right? So give us a quick background on how you got in the military, because you've made a shift recently, so we'll get into that whole story too.
Mm-hmm.
But why in the world did you join to begin with?
I was a sophomore in college. I've always really wanted to serve in the military in some capacity or another. And I was afforded that opportunity it was in the National Guard. We had a deployment going to Afghanistan in 2011, 2012, and they needed, like, a lot of people. So there's a lot of open spots, and I was just like, you know what? I want to see the world. So I did it.
That's one way to do it.
Sadly, I didn't go to Afghanistan. I wish I would have. That was 2 weeks prior to actually flying to Afghanistan. I was at Camp Shelby.
Where's that at?
Mississippi.
Okay.
Yeah. Camp Shelby, Mississippi for mobilization training. I was a medic at the time. And they stopped us and said, nope, you're going to Kuwait for the exodus of Iraq. Okay. I was like, great. So I got to hang out in the desert pretty much for 13 months.
Yeah. It's kind of where most boys end up at this point. You're going to do some desert time at some point in your career.
Yeah.
Yeah. My cousin, he was in the Army and was in the striker units, and he went to, I don't think he ever went to Afghanistan. He went to Iraq twice, maybe three times, but he had one station where he was in Germany for a couple of years.
Yeah.
He loved that. He always, because he got to travel Europe, he did Oktoberfest, he got to see a lot of cool things there. I mean, he served his crappy time in, you know, because I think his first time he went was 18 months in Iraq.
Yeah.
And went through a lot of sucky things. So, but that's, you know, now that he's out and he's kind of doing his own thing now, he lives in Colorado, and it's almost like he's used that to, he's a big mountaineering guy. He's climbed, I don't even know how many 14ers. He's got some buddies that's what they do, you know, is the big endurance of that way, you know, at the mountaineering stuff. So,
which is no joke. I run trails. I've been doing trail runs lately, and
yeah, his videos, exhausting. They put together some awesome videos of their trips and stuff, and it is so cool. But yeah, he does crap. It's like stupid. And I'm like, I mean, on the edges of the ridge lines and all that stuff, it's ridiculous. But yeah,
hard pass,
so,
man.
Yeah, me too. So you, in 12 is when you went to
11, 12. Yeah. Kuwait. Came back, went back to college, and I got into ROTC.
Okay.
If you listen to the last podcast, I didn't like being a medic. So I wanted to be able to shape the battlefield and do something that I could make a difference. So I decided to become an officer. Okay. And I branched infantry in 2014. I went to infantry school.
Where did you do that at?
Fort Benning, Georgia.
Okay.
And that was 5 months long. Mm-hmm. Had a great time there when I wasn't out in the field, but I spent most of my time out in the field.
Okay.
It was a suck fest.
What made it so sucky?
Not showering for up to a week to 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Like you're legit out in the bush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Doing movements, you know, multiple kilometers. We call them clicks.
What was the coolest part of being out there doing it? Was there a fun part of it?
You know, no, but I loved it.
Okay.
So I've been reading this book lately too, which it's talks about like the most horrible environments that you've been in, or the most horrible situations. When you come out of it, you remember it and you look back and you're like, it really wasn't that bad. And I kind of had some fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, we're not talking about dramatic experiences.
It's always like a lot more fun after the fact.
Yes.
But that is very similar to endurance sports.
Yeah.
It sucks real bad when you're in the middle. Afterwards, you're like, that's cool. I think I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But yeah, it was basically a pre-ranger course.
Okay.
90% of the people that I went through was called IBOLIC. Infantry Basic Officer course.
Okay.
90% with the Ranger School.
Okay.
Sadly, my unit was poor at the time. We didn't have any money, and they couldn't pay for it. I had a slot, but they wouldn't pay for it. So most of the National Guard guys didn't get a go. We had two or three of them out of about 15 of us that actually got a go.
So why'd you go National Guard route?
I had a job at the time. I wanted to go to grad school. At the time, I didn't know if I wanted to go to grad school or law school.
Okay.
I had things that I still wanted to do. So going active duty was not necessarily in the cards for me at that time.
Gotcha.
So I decided to stay in National Guard. And the National Guard has always been good to me.
Mm-hmm.
The 45th unit that I was in for the last 8 years was phenomenal. I've made some great friends, and the unit itself is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So by far one of the best National Guard units.
So what does your unit kind of, I don't know. Because I don't know a ton about it. Does it specialize in one thing, or do you guys have like a job that you're your focus?
The 45th is an IBCT, which is an Infantry Brigade Combat Team.
Okay.
It's a rapid response combat team is what it is. So it's a brigade level. We have two battalions that are infantry. We have multiple support battalions, and we have a cavalry regiment that we utilize. Also field artillery as well. And the thing about IBCTs is we can rapidly deploy within 30 days, easy, just like that.
Okay.
Like an entire unit goes somewhere. Like for instance, with Ukraine.
And a unit has how many people?
I'm not sure about the IBCT, but I know like 179 Infantry Battalion, the one I was in an S-1-4, we had approximately 400 something people. Wow. So, So, I mean,
yeah.
Well over 3,000 or 4,000 people in an IBCT. Yeah.
Man.
Easy, if not more. I'm estimating. Right. I should know the number.
Right.
I've
close. Ballpark is good.
Yeah, ballpark. Yeah.
So you finally got deployed to Iraq. You came back, or to Kuwait.
Kuwait, yeah.
You came back. And from there, you went to Fort Benning?
After I graduated college and went ROTC, yeah.
Okay.
That's how I met Bogaski, who's following on Instagram right now.
Uh-huh.
He was a year ahead of me. He actually spent some time in Korea. I think he's with a striker unit.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, it was a...
So, after you got done with that, you said 5 months there?
Yeah, 5 months there. I came back.
So that puts us in what, 2014, 2015?
Yeah, 2014. Okay. I went late July 2014. And I think I got down around, I don't remember, December, late November, December, somewhere around there.
And then where did you end up after that?
I went to Delta Company, which is a heavy weapons unit. It's an infantry unit, obviously. I was a platoon leader and had approximately anywhere between 30 to 45 people, depending on how our manning was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That I would work with.
You went to Ukraine?
No. This was a few years later. This is when I first got back. So gotcha. The Delta Company is like, that's where you hold the firepower. Yeah, like... You have the Mauduses, the 50 cals. You have the 240 Limas, which are longer. It's a variant of the 240 Bravo. They're on trucks. Oh, all these are on trucks. You have tow missile systems. They can like take out tanks. Yeah.
Wow.
So they're wicked. And you can shoot up to 3,450 meters.
That's going to be fun to like get to go... I mean, I would say practice.
And it's guided.
You
guide the missile, too.
That's awesome.
Like, through a
where do you practice that at?
Fort Chaffee, Fort Sill.
Okay. So it's whenever you're out riding Mount Scott, those big booms, is that what you're hearing?
Normally, those are eight. You have a really big ADA unit out there as well, Fort Sill. Air Defense Artillery.
Okay.
And they'll do...
I
guess I wouldn't be with them, but you have heavier artillery units out there.
Uh-huh.
When you hear like the,
uh-huh.
Those are actually rockets, like going
cool.
over. Yeah, those are cool. Wicked. Those are. Oh my goodness!
I know I'm testing all your knowledge here.
See, I was never in a heavy artillery unit like that. I was only in a. Just a ground artillery. So
gotcha.
I didn't get to see a lot of the missile trucks.
Yeah.
So, I got to see them in Ukraine.
All right. So let's fast forward a little bit. So
right.
your what was your next deployment after that?
So in 2016, we got a rapid down the chute. Hey, people are going to Ukraine. We didn't know who they were, but they said they wanted the best. They wanted like, the top guys in the 179 with the unit that I was with. I was currently the Delta Company Executive Officer. I was the number two guy at the company. And So I volunteered because I was told it's going to look better and I'm going to be on the list anyway. So go ahead, just volunteer.
Yeah, so you're going no matter what.
Yeah, my commander and I, we both were like, we know we're going to be on the list.
Right.
We're going to volunteer. So we volunteered. I talked to my wife beforehand, obviously.
Keep going. I'm just checking out who's looking at us on Instagram Live over here. Yeah.
So, and it was a quick mobilization. I think we were mobilized. We did a mobilization in under 30 days. And okay. We were in country. Yeah. So, and I think the reason why I like Ukraine so much is because I was comparing it to the other,
right.
the other deployment.
It wasn't the desert.
It wasn't the desert, but it was fucking cold.
Yeah, I bet.
Fucking cold. Oh my God. Like, when
what's worse, the cold or the heat?
The heat. I like the cold, but...
Well, plus the heat, you still have to wear, like, full gear.
Yeah.
And that's what I always told my cousin. I was like, dude, I can't imagine having all that crap on and sitting inside of one of those strikers going across the desert.
Yeah.
And it's 130. Like,
I think those may have air conditioning. Our truck's a Delta company. Had air conditioning.
I don't think his did because he had comments about the how miserable it was that he didn't have them. So, yeah.
Well, when we're just sitting still, we turn our trucks off.
And
then it's like an oven. You're just like,
but the cold at the Ukraine was just brutal.
So when you're inside of your room and you're like, oh, it's 60 degrees in here. That's nice.
Yeah, that's cold.
that's cold. That's
so how long were you in Ukraine?
Oh, a little over 6 months.
Okay.
Total with mobilization and demob, I think it was a total of almost 9 months.
But it had to been interesting, all the stuff that you got to see and do and be around and things that are going on in the world. It's better that people just don't know about things.
Yeah.
People want to know things and people are like, oh, the government should tell us all this crap. I'm like, you know what? There's a lot of things I don't want to know. Yeah. Like, if I don't know, it doesn't hurt me kind of situation. And what goes on in places like that, it's okay that people that are really smart doing it take care of it.
And we were just training the Ukrainian army to fight the Russian-backed separatists.
Right.
So, like, I mean, that's all we were doing. Training them.
That's kind of cool.
They have what's called, I think it was the Donbass, but we call it the ATO.
Mm-hmm.
And they call it the ATO as well. But it's this area on western Ukraine that is currently kind of like how what happened with Crimea, with the annexation of Crimea. It's separatists that are backed by Russia that are trying to gain independence, I'm using air quotes, from Ukraine, and Russia's backing them.
Gotcha.
In fact, we know Russia's been there because of Instagram. Because people in Russia use Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And a soldier... like geotagged himself like 100 miles like inside of Ukraine on a tank.
Damn you, Instagram.
So this was like in late 2014. It's a couple months after the plane was shot down. The Russian backed separatists with air defense missile systems that were given to them by Russia shot down a commercial airline.
Oops.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were there for 6 months, and then after you got back, have you been deployed since then?
Nope. No? I have been here.
So you've only been having to ship off twice.
Yep.
Which I'm sure that makes Mama happy.
Yeah.
With the kiddo. That makes life a little happier around the household.
Oh, she loves it when I'm gone. There's no extra food. Uh-huh. She can...
And you get a tax break when you're gone. Right?
Yeah, this last one, no.
Oh,
because it was not a combat zone.
Oh, that's stupid.
Yep.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, that's a... Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
Okay. And so now, recently, you've made a change in your military career.
Yes.
And so what's going on with that?
So I just finished my master's degree, environmental health, and I applied about 9 months ago. This is how long it's taken, and it took 6 months to get approved, but to be a bioenvironmental engineer in the United States Air Force.
In the Air Force?
Yep.
Okay. So will you be Air Force Reserves?
Nope. I'm active duty. Already transferred. I'm already in the Air Force now. Okay.
So what does that job entail?
So think about how chemicals and radiation, like actual radiation, like just either from the sun or from nuclear weapons caches,
okay.
or anything, like plutonium-238.
Okay.
You know, just when I'm talking about your radiation, so ionizing radiation, more or less, how that affects the body and how that affects the environment that people work in and live in.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we are subject matter experts in environmental health issues. It's very broad. So think of health physicists. Think of.
So is it on the environment side or is it on the people side?
Both.
Okay. So if
both.
Something goes
very
on,
much. Both.
Okay. Let's make it current events.
Okay.
All the crap that's going on in Syria. Would that include?
Yes.
What
yes.
you guys will be looking into and dealing
yes.
with and doing
with
and
the
researching.
Sarin and chlorine
yeah.
gas? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So would you guys get deployed to go check things out like that? Or is it more of the research of these things are going on, we're trying to work on finding a ways to stop the
both. So
results of what's happening.
There's a major who got me into this, who talked me into, not taught me, and he introduced me to bioenvironmental engineers in the Air Force, he's getting his PhD at OU, where I just finished my master's. And so he was at Fukushima after that hurricane came through, because he was checking radiation levels, stuff like that. So
even natural disasters, you guys will go check out
yes.
situations. Okay.
So like we're engineers in a sense that if there's a problem when it comes to anything that can hurt you or hurt the environment, we're the ones that are going to fix it. We'll work with civil engineers and structural engineers to make the problem and like contain the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But we're the ones that are subject matter experts on how it's going to affect the body, what to look out for 10 days from now, 10 months from now, 10 years from now.
Gotcha.
10 is an arbitrary number I just put
right.
out there.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So,
interesting, because that's something you don't think about in the military.
Yeah, no, it's heavily in like chemistry. Like we have extensive chemistry background. Oddly enough, calculus. also physics. Physics is a big one too. It's like with my thesis, I did a lot with aerosol physics, which is still a. Really, it's more of a theory. But there's not an actual like concrete definition of what happens with aerosol physics. It's just literally just a theory because it's so small.
See, science, I don't get it because I'm just not, my brain just doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're caught up on you.
Yes.
Let's talk about how in the world, because you have done some. Well, in our world with our friends, it seems normal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're like, oh yeah, that's a cool event, or that's a cool thing to go do, or cool race, or whatever the situation might be. But to, I air quote, normal people, they say, oh, you went and did an Ironman. That's the dumbest thing. I can't believe you did that. In our world, you're like, yeah, but so-and-so went and did it last week, and they've done 12, and it's like normal,
yeah.
right? But you've also done some... you know, some rucking across the Grand Canyon, which...
Multiple times.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've done a lot of other crazy events or activities that are outside of the triathlon world.
Yes.
So how has your training, your physical training and your mental training and things like that in the military influenced what you do in your leisure time of endurance events and ultra endurance events?
Well, see, it was the genesis of my... endurance activities, actually. When I was in Kuwait, there was a Camp Buri marathon, the first ever.
Okay.
Actually, we had a sandstorm during it. It was great. It was my first marathon ever.
Like, so on
ever.
The base?
Yeah.
So did you just run a ton of laps?
Basically, yeah. Around, like, we went through, like, you started like, the center of Camp Buri, and you run around. There's only one or, I think it's one or two hardball roads and they intersect at Camp Buri, and the rest is literally just sand. So you're running on sand.
So how many laps did you have to make of the base?
Three.
Oh, so it was a big place.
It's a quite a big place.
Yeah, that's a big place. It's a big town.
Yeah, well, there's no, it's not a town at all. It's just a really big base. We basically just kind of ran the perimeter.
Okay.
Inside of it. And
how long did that take you for your first one?
It was like 3 hours and 50 minutes.
Shut up. It's fast.
I was training on a treadmill the entire time because it was 120 some odd degrees outside.
So you ran your first marathon. Did you have shoes, tennis shoes?
I had boots? New Balance Minimus.
Okay. So in the sand, painful. How hot was it?
When we started, it was in November, I think.
Okay, that helps.
So it was a little bit cooler. But like we started at 8, which I thought was ridiculous. The sun was like rising almost. No, it was like 7. It was like 7. Because I was like, oh, let's wake up normal time.
So how many people did it?
I don't know, 100.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big event.
Yeah.
For some random obscure thing. So that was your first one, and you got hooked with like, oh, this endurance stuff is dumb, and I love every second of it.
Yep. And the second one I ever did was Oklahoma City, and then I went on like,
because you're a runner naturally. That's your thing.
That's my thing. Yeah. And I went on this like marathon, like every month kind of thing. I've done over 20 marathons.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Nice.
And it's, I mean, like, it was just one after another.
Just,
like,
I just
Oklahoma City, gonna go do Tulsa, gonna do I went up to, my favorite one I ever did was Twin Cities up in Minnesota.
Yep.
I love that one.
What was your least favorite one?
Probably the one I PR'd was, I got 308. It was Tulsa in 2013 or 14. It was freezing.
Yeah.
Like,
is that
it was
why you hated
sleet.
It because the weather sucks?
Yeah, it was sleet.
So after you did all your marathons, how did the, so clearly the military had an influence in you even starting that, because you would have never started it maybe if you wouldn't have been
probably not,
there and experienced that way. Do you feel like your training has helped you with your endurance sports, maybe making you mentally tougher, helping you with, I would say, pushing yourself almost too far? Is that from training or is that natural?
I think that's come from the military. When I was younger, like, I would avoid pain.
Okay.
I was just like, I don't want to feel emotional pain. I don't want to feel physical pain. Like, I was a wrestler too for 8 years.
Okay.
So I was just like, I felt pain a lot. I hated it. I absolutely hated it. I was just like, nope.
Right. Wrestlers are a different breed, man.
Yeah.
They're some tough dudes.
Yeah.
I grew up in a small town in Oklahoma that is known for wrestling, and they put out some legit crazy dudes. El Reno.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot of national champions come out of there in college ranks. But, man, those wrestlers, they're a different group of dudes.
Yeah.
They're tough. They're super great guys. But they are mentally different and tougher.
But I think that's one of the reasons why I didn't pursue it more in college either. Because when I was done with it in high school, I was just like, I don't like.
Done.
I'm just done.
Yeah.
I hated starving myself.
Yeah, that's hard. I mean, but the mental fortitude that it takes to make weight at such a, to do that all the time and willingly do that, and you learn that mental toughness at a young age and pushing yourself, I think it goes so far in your future life, either in your career and or in doing recreational sports. Mm-hmm. So. You think the military has helped just push that to the next level?
Yeah. I mean, it's... The military definitely has... It's almost like they try to indoctrinate us with it. Mm-hmm. It's like, push yourself further. Like, there's always like, you can take one more step. Come on, don't be a wussy. One more step, let's do this.
Well, you can always go significantly farther and harder than you think you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because your body can do it. It's your mind that screws you up.
Yeah.
And your central governor, which kind of plays a little bit of a role in that. But still, you can override that significantly farther than you think you can.
Yeah.
So what do you feel like is going to be your, so far, what's been your biggest adventure, I guess I would say? Let's start with that.
All right. We're going to have to define adventure because I've had a lot of them.
The endurance adventure. And it doesn't have to technically be a race.
What's happening right now? What's my goal?
That's an open answer. I mean, it's an open question. Right. So what do you feel like has been the biggest one to this point that has either taken the most out of you, was the coolest, was the most fun, was the hardest? Like, what event have you done? So, for example, this is mine. You know, I've done a couple of random things. But when we went and did the Grand Canyon, we did rim to rim. and we just hiked it. It was smooth sailing. Nobody had any problems. There was no this epic story like we came out and the mules had to come drag us out, you know, 4 days later. There was none of that crap. But for me, that was probably the coolest endurance event I've done, for the simple fact that I shared it with my wife and we went and did it. We trained for it, and that was pretty cool because we've done a couple half marathons and stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't train for those because we run at such a different speed and it was her thing. And so I would run with her during the event. But that, we would do some rucks together. We showed up and we had part of our divide and conquer. I think there was, maybe 10 or 12 of us there. And so we got to share that with a cool group of people.
Yeah.
We loved it. The Grand Canyon, if you've never been there, it's the most incredible place. And then from the bottom, what you see from the top is amazing. And when you're in it, it's times 1,000.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing like it. And sharing that with some like really great people, for me, that was my greatest endurance adventure that I've done.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with results or whatever. It's just the full-on experience for me. That was my favorite.
It's really hard for me to say right now what mine would be. I have so many going through my mind right now. I mean, last weekend I ran the Grand Canyon, so I was trying to do it rim to rim to rim in one day. But long story short, I started 2 hours later than I wanted to. I didn't hit the save. You have a Samsung, you know.
Yeah.
When you set your alarm, you have to hit the save button.
Uh-huh.
You can't just set the alarm, quote, then exit out of it.
But you made it to the North Rim.
I made it at 27 and a half miles. I made it to the North Rim.
And that was...
And that...
That was it.
I was throwing up. It was like... I got to mile 17. I was doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's when I hit mile 17 is when the sun hit me.
Yeah.
Because I was in the box.
Oh, you were in the box? Oh, you got to get through there before then.
And I was going uphill and like I was just like... I could see where the sun was. I'm just like...
Uh-huh.
This is gonna fucking suck.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I hit that sun, within a mile, I was just like,
and the thing is, going
toast
from south to north, once you get through the box, like, you're wide open, you're exposed for the entire time.
Yes,
there is no shelter from there on.
Yeah, and because the sun's coming up in the east, and you're going north, so the sun's coming up and it's hitting you.
Yeah, the entire
time. Like the entire time, because when you're going up to the North Rim, you're on the west side, going up that part of the part of the cliff. And there's no shade, and you are literally fucking cooking.
Uh-huh.
And I got to the point where I'll send you the pictures, but I took pictures every time I stopped. I stopped about at every water stop that they had. Mm-hmm. So I stopped at the Indian Garden, then I stopped at, next stop was Phantom Ranch, and the next stop was...
Yeah, I don't remember the names of them after that. Go in that direction.
Yeah, then it was the other campground. That right before it started to go uphill.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally at the bottom. And I was fucking great time.
So did you get to draw on your military experience and training and things that you've been taught in times like that?
Unless
you have a medical background,
yeah,
a medic background in the military, which helps, gives you some peace of mind at least.
It does, and I knew the signs and symptoms. It was just like with Ironman Texas.
Yeah.
And the worst part was, like, I was going through my mind, like, I was going down the hill, and every time I watch it go off at 1 mile, and, like, I had this thing, like, in my mind, I would actually say out loud, I would literally say this, not today, motherfucker, not today, like, because I was, like, not going to stop.
That's like some Goggins kind of stuff.
Where do you think Matt I got Goggins. It from?
Oh, yeah. It's beast, but yeah.
I got it from fucking Goggins.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so Matthew Goggins is who we're talking about.
No, it's not Matthew Goggins.
Isn't it?
No, it's,
I don't want to look it up.
Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure, anyways.
It's not Matt Goggins.
Just type in Goggins, Navy SEAL, you're going to find anything and everything that you want to find.
Yeah.
The dude is a beast.
David Goggins.
David Goggins, that's it. David Goggins, good call.
Yeah.
He's and a like, freak, but he's good.
So. One, like, one of those things like, not today, motherfucker. Uh-huh. And I was just like, because I was listening to that on the way down there.
Uh-huh.
Like,
he's got a lot of good podcasts out there.
14-hour.
And stuff, so.
Yeah, 14-hour drive. I would listen to Goggins. That one guy, Finding Hitler.
Tim Kennedy.
Tim Kennedy, the one you introduced me to.
Yeah, Tim Kennedy.
I listened to his too. His was good. His was really good too.
He's an intense dude. So so this is kind of our military theme. Check out both those guys because Goggins is a SEAL, an ex-SEAL.
Yeah, former SEAL.
And Kennedy was in the Green Berets, and then he got out.
He was fighting.
But
he's still in. He's still in the Texas National Guard.
Okay.
Who has a Green Beret unit.
And then he was fighting in the UFC and all this kind of stuff. And then he's like, oh, I think I need to go back and clean the world up a little bit more. So he went back full time, reenlisted, and follow him on Instagram and listen to some podcasts. Those dudes are crazy.
Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan has some good ones. Yeah.
Is the one he's we're talking to them. There's another girl with Joe Rogan. The girl who won the Moab 240.
I haven't listened to that one.
She beat the. Oh, it's good. It's really good. I forgot her name. Oh, it's really good.
I'll check it out.
She beat the second place guy by 20 hours.
Oh, good.
No, by 8 hours, 20 miles.
That's awesome.
Right.
That's awesome.
She got 21 minutes of sleep.
Sounds awful.
Yeah.
That sounds awful. So, to make this stuff go full circle and to wrap this conversation up, I would say just listen to that. The Grand Canyon has given you some pretty crazy and epic experiences.
Yeah.
You've been in there several times.
I rucked it twice.
Uh-huh.
Well, I rucked it once. I rucked from rim to rim once. Then I went back down to Phantom Ranch.
Uh-huh.
I rucked back up, ran down. Then I rucked back up the next day.
Okay.
A buddy of mine hurt his knee. So I rucked his stuff up, put it in the car. I ran back down.
Gotcha.
Then 2017, the first year I did it with my wife and a buddy of mine. And this year 2017, my wife and I did it. My wife went rim to rim. Then I ran from the north rim to the south rim I ruck ran it. I had about a 20 pound ruck on the way back. She took a lot of my stuff on the way, but we were just going to go rim to rim to rim, but I wanted to run it and she just wanted to relax.
Yeah.
So then this year, my goal, which I've had this goal of running rim to rim to rim one day for about the last 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the rim got me. Grand Canyon got me.
It happens. Is there anything that you would like to add on to your experiences that you've had in the military and how they've influenced your endurance career or how they've made you better, made you stronger when it comes to kind of pushing to that next level? Because I've never been in the military.
Mm-hmm.
It's not... You know, I never went that direction.
Obviously, you don't drink like you have.
Exactly. I'm sipping it because it tastes like tree. Ugh. But the mindset and of what it takes to be a soldier and to go through the things that you guys go through, being able to push yourself and just kind of shut things off and do crap that, like, uncomfortable crap.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so how is that, how do you feel that has really pushed you to the next level? Do you think it's been over time or like a one-set training kind of situation?
No, it's definitely been over time. I would say it starts when you're in basic training. When it's just... Because I went through basic training in 2010 at Fort Benning. Just through the general basic training, not for the infantry, just for the general. Because you have general and you have infantry. Infantry is like 16 weeks long and it's you stay the whole time there. I went... Fort Benning, then to Fort Sam
mm-hmm.
for medic school. But the camaraderie, the literal doing shit that you don't want to fucking do, because it's just you're someone's bitch the entire time.
Right, but when you do in sports, you are the same thing
to
yourself. Essentially.
Yes, but in the military, it's like you have no choice.
Uh-huh.
It's and you're people going
that,
to do it.
And the people that are great at endurance sports have no choice.
Yeah.
There is no choice to quit. There is no choice to slow down. There is no... They don't give themselves an outlet. And it is the same mindset. And you know, that makes really good endurance athletes.
Yeah.
That makes a really good...
Yeah. It's... I think when you have someone who's... put over you like a drill sergeant and mm-hmm. you are required and you're so intimidated by them you're almost scared of them. I was terrified at first.
What's funny is my dad was a drill sergeant And if you met him, you'd be like, oh God, how could anyone be scared of this dude? Because he is so just a goofy dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and it's crazy because like I'm friends on Facebook with one of my drills. We've been friends on Facebook for the last 8 years. But I was the platoon guide from day five up until graduation, which is that's hardly ever been done. It's like platoon guides are like, I'm the guy that I'm the mediator from the drill sergeant to gotcha. Everyone else. Like I'm the platoon leader essentially.
Right. Gotcha.
And that was as a private. So
gotcha.
But it's you're terrified for the most part at first, and you gain a lot of respect for authority.
Do you think it gave you a lot of help you learn a lot of confidence?
Yes.
And pushing yourself and what you could really do.
Because I didn't, and you know, I was a wrestler for 8 years, cross country track in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess I thought I pushed myself, but I didn't truly really push myself. I didn't know what sleep deprivation was and lack of food.
You didn't know what suck really was.
Yeah, I didn't know what fucking suck was at the time. Yeah. I figured it out, but like that was still nothing compared to going to Eyeball.
Okay.
Well, at Fort Benning for infantry basic course. Yeah. It was like they say, this is a pre-ranger course. This is going to we're treating this like ranger school.
Uh-huh.
Here's two MREs. You get these for one day. By the way, give us your fucking candy. You're not getting the candy because you don't get candy. And like all right, you got 10 minutes. You can either you need to shave. You have to shave. You could change your clothes after you shave or sleep. For about 5 minutes, I always opted for sleep.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you're literally up for, I think the longest I stayed up was almost 48 hours.
Oh,
it was to the point where I was hallucinating at night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, trees would, like, the shadows would walk. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, my buddy Dyson, he was my battle buddy quite a bit of the time. I was like, dude, Dyson, shit's moving in the
street. This tree's coming after us. Well, I will say that having that mindset and having those experiences are things that you can draw on in any of the crazy stuff that you do. And and I will like to say, we have said it to you last time, but thank you so much for your service, for what you guys have done and will continue to do. And now you got a career out of it and
yeah.
a next step, next chapter. So thanks a lot. Let's wrap this one up.
I appreciate the support.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks, brother.
Yep.